Hello. I would like to call the May 15th Diversity, Equity, Inclusion meeting to order. Start by taking the roll. It is 7:03. Guillermo Aruz. Stacy Austin.
Here.
Erica Bachner.
Here.
David Bonner.
Here.
Mindy Creedy.
Here.
Renee Duba Clancy.
Here.
Anna Berman.
Here.
Trish Ivancek. Ken Johnson.
Here.
Kirk Johnson.
Here.
Chris Johnson.
Here.
Jennifer Kelly. Megan Cascatalo, Farzad Kaladin, Kent Kirk, Sharon Oates, Mary Jane Oliver, Diana Plavach, Abigail Rogers, Cindy Shea, Liz Simon, Whitney Simon, Rhoda Servenowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, so we have a quorum tonight. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. So can we get a motion to approve the July 19, 2022 DEI Advisory Group minutes? All in favor? All opposed? Thank you very much. Can we get a motion to approve the September 20th, 2022 DEI Advisory Group meeting minutes? Here?
Okay.
And an approval of the March 6th, 2023 DEI Advisory Group meeting minutes?
Well, my only question is, some of them haven't been published. So are these all the old ones?
Yes. Approval of the March 21st, 2023 DEI Advisory Group meeting minutes and the approval of the April 17th, 2023 DEI Advisory Group minutes. Can I have a... Thank you. I got a second. All in favor? All opposed? Thank you very much.
And Luke, and for everyone's record.
Okay, advisory board chair comments.
I go first. So I do want to recognize, I see Fenwick. I want to make sure, since my daughter goes to Fenwick, I'm going to give them the correct shout out. So tell us who you are and why you're here. We'd love to hear it. So. What year are you guys?
Junior.
So my daughter is Marissa Johnson. And she was here for a trustee meeting, so I know what you guys are going through. So we'll try to make it easy on you. All right, welcome.
Thanks for coming out.
As far as other comments, just wanted to announce that on June 12th is the River Forest Juneteenth celebration at the library. would love to have you. We have hopefully individuals from every school, as well as other select speakers there, and would just love to have more support coming out. It's June 12th from 11 to 1, I believe.
Thanks, Ken. I'll go next. So for your records, if you need it, I'm Trustee Erica Bachner, co-chair of the DEI Advisory Group. Thank you for being here tonight. And I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And just hello to everyone else. I'm looking forward to tonight's meeting and the information that we'll be reviewing. I do want to say, I believe May is AAPI Heritage Month, so Asian Pacific Islander Heritage Month, so happy Heritage Month. And that's it.
And I'm Trish Ivansek. I'm a co-chair of the advisory group, and welcome to we appreciate you coming in person. I know it can be hard, but we appreciate you. And I don't have any other comments. So do we have any public comment tonight?
I think it's important for this group to acknowledge that this is the celebrating Seniors Month. So all the events that are being celebrated with seniors should be
thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we have no unfinished business tonight, but we are going to have a presentation for the DEI survey that took place a couple months ago. Matt Walsh, the village administrator, is going to do the presentation.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Trish. As Trish said, I'm Matt Walsh. I'm the village administrator here. So I know a lot of you have been waiting for some of the deliverables from NOVA, the consultant that the village hired at the end of 2022. I know that was a long process to get someone on board, and one of the projects that NOVA was tasked with was a survey primarily of
Could you just go a little farther back just so that the students know what you're talking about? So
back in 2021, the DEI committee was formed, and as part of one of the tasks that were charged to the group was bringing on a consultant to take a look at the village's DEI practices and processes. And that consultant was hired in late 2022. This consultant, based in Chicago, specializes in helping nonprofits and municipalities and corporations wrestle with the inclusion diversity initiatives in their organizations. And part of their contract, they did an analysis of some of our policies and procedures, our personnel manual, and some of the other things that the village does. And then also a survey of employees, and then also DEI advisory group members. This presentation, or a very similar presentation, was provided to us from NOVA employees a few weeks ago, and wanted to share that information with the group. All right, so this is just a background. This is the NOVA team that was tasked with survey that had some data analysis folks. We had a back and forth for several months on what kind of questions would be asked, what to focus on, and they kind of steered that. So we had a back and forth between staff and the consultants. Ended up opening up the goals of the survey. The hope and the goal was to kind of get an anonymous response from employees and advisory council members and try and glean off action plans from those findings. So after that back and forth of creating the survey was open about 2 or 3 weeks. I can't remember exactly how long. And we encouraged all employees to complete the survey. It was not mandated because we didn't want folks to respond unless they really wanted to, and because that would be a more accurate and truthful statement. We didn't mandate that. And then we also had 21 council members respond to this. We had about 3/4 of village staff respond to the survey, which we were hoping for a little bit higher, but we're still pleased with that result. This executive summary, there's a lot of words on the screen. We'll kind of delve into them a little bit more as we go with the findings. But some of the general takeaways, that this is more specific to employees. Most of what I'll talk about is the employees, because that was really the goal, at least from the village's perspective, to see how our employees felt about these topics. And we'll also kind of give some high-level background on the advisory group findings as well. Generally, employees are proud to work for the village and feel like they can succeed. 82% of employees felt that DEI is critical to success, but they're not sure that the village was committed to it. That kind of comes through in a couple other answers that we'll go through. Second topic, the police department.
So how many employees participated in the survey?
That would be 62 employees.
How do we get to 82?
I'm sure it's a... Yes, percent.
Oh, it doesn't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't.
There's
percent. So 82% of employees participated, and that was 50 employees.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
That was 82% of employees participated?
That is correct, yes.
Thank you. I think people are saying.
Of responding employees, correct, yes.
And there were 20,
but this is specific to the employees.
21.
Correct.
And this is part of the packet, correct, Matt?
No, it was not in the packet.
Not share. We were still working on the presentation. So the second line item here, the police department is generally more engaged than other departments. Also feel more comfortable reporting issues, bias. And the third item, the employees feel disconnected from their senior leaders. There was a finding that we'll discuss a little further, that a lot of employees felt more trusting of their direct supervisors, but not necessarily village leadership. So one disclaimer I want to share is that in order to promise anonymity, we're not that big of an organization. We only have 82 employees, so it somewhat easily deduce who someone might be depending on what their profiles are. Our departments aren't that big. So NOVA, in their background, would only provide specific information when there were at least 10 respondents in a certain department or demographic, opposed to just giving us 3 people in the administration department, me, Trish, and Luke. It would be pretty easy to figure out who was who on the respondent. So, for example, as long as hair. But this is for all employees that responded to the survey, all 62 employees. These were the profile and demographics of it. So 100% of the departments are represented. For us, we combined our finance and administration departments. We also had our public works department, our fire and police departments. Those are the 4 departments that were. Primarily white respondents, male respondents, which is not surprised given at least our intimate knowledge of the staff. and then I'll show kind of charts later to break down the generational divide.
Can I get a question? On the lower right listed other marginalized identities.
Yep.
Was that marginalized identities, was that defined in the survey, or was that the respondents allowed to?
I believe there was an open-ended response to that, but there were a few categories in there. Neurodivergent was one response, body type.
Neuro what?
Neurodivergent, autism or somewhere on the spectrum included in that. Body type and religious identity, I think, were some of the other marginalized. I'll show the exact question, I think, towards the end. But I think, take a step back from that. A lot of goal through NOVA is they don't want to put anyone in a necessary box for what they're responding to. If they feel marginalized as a certain demographic or characters that they have, they were permitted or encouraged to respond that they do feel that way. So that
Just to back up a little bit, do we know, obviously you know, can you tell us what the percentage of white people work for the village and how many men work for the village? What percentage?
I can't really.
Okay. We should get that data, please.
Yeah, a lot of that data you have to self-identify, so it can be hard to gather that and have an exact answer for people who.
Yeah, no, I think that's correct. But if we're going to have a category of 14 that identified as marginalized, then I think people might want to identify themselves or.
Well, I think some of those respondents that did have other demographic characteristics that wouldn't be considered marginal.
But how do we know that, Matt?
I'm not sure that it is necessarily relevant.
Thank you.
But well, as we go through, maybe that'll help. And then this is the. Some of the similar demographics. This is just specific to the 21 advisory group members that respond. So these are some of the primary takeaways from the employee side of the graph. It's a little small up here, smaller than we thought it would be, but a little bit further. So 89% of village employees feel that the River Force policies and procedures discourage discrimination, or actually all three of these categories all happen to be 89%. Their ability to succeed in the village. And then lows, these are the percentages on the right are folks that agreed with the statement. So even though it might be a majority, it still indicates that there are quite a number of employees that don't feel like those, that the village is living up to these statements, including intentionally hiring people with different backgrounds. So that different perspectives and ideas are valued. Yep.
There.
No, it's a little confusing. So 56% of employees agreed that the Village of River Forest hires people. So this is low. This is still considered low as compared to some of the other responses. I mean, it certainly could be lower. So we're pleased with that. But so these are still kind of more areas for opportunity. I think the numbers will kind of show that speaking for myself, there aren't a glaring flaw, but there are still opportunities for success or improvement.
Cool, what's the scale?
I will show you.
Also, just agree, disagree, or neutral. That's how.
At least for these ones, yes. I think that there were some that were a 5-point scale, but. Right.
So you could.
They were strongly agree, moderately agree, right. Neutral. Any questions on these? Yeah. No, that's it's a great question, and I knew that was going to get asked because it's something that we, when we got the responses, we realized that might have been somewhere where we should have specified more. That you're right. Some respondents may have treated senior leaders as board and village have thought more of a director level. So that is one area that I wish we would have kind of delved more into. That's a similar response to when we get to the direct supervisor question. My direct supervisor is the village board. That's not the employees. So everyone has a little bit of a different perspective. So I guess the takeaway is that the upper levels, I would include the village board and the directors and anyone who has someone that area for improvement.
I would take this as something that level as a trustee, even if that's not necessarily what was meant, and then have management do the same.
Sure, right. I wouldn't want to sit back, oh, it's probably just the board. Right. Oh, we'll just keep the right thing to do.
I have not heard of any surveys like that. I am relatively new. I've been here a year next week. Matt, same thing. So we are absolutely looking at doing a yearly engagement survey for the staff just so that we can gauge where everybody is.
Are you intending to spend $30,000 on engagement surveys every year?
No, that it would be a survey that we would do in house.
Good.
There's a lot of points on here. These are kind of the takeaways for. So, hard to read these. We had that last slide to kind of show that, but the top line or the subtitle there is the intended to be the main takeaway. So, as I mentioned earlier, employees' trust in their direct supervisor is much higher than their leaders. Now, their leaders, that may mean myself, it may mean the village board, it may mean their department director, but a positive that direct supervisors are largely trusted. We saw a majority of employees believe that DEI is essential.
Again, is that 82% of employees or is that 82% of respondents?
Fair point. Yes, that would be respondents.
Thank you.
here, nearly 40% of responding employees are unsure whether the village is intentionally hiring. And you'll notice that some of these, the 40%.
Is that point at the top that you're highlighting cover all of them, because it is hard to read, but or is it one of the?
It's just one of them. This was NOVA had kind of areas for opportunity or improvement here. So that the 37% there on the second to last line is what they're referring to with the unsure of intentionally hiring for diversity.
So I'm sorry. I just want to get this clear. So 21 employees responded, and we're saying 40% of 21
So this whole first section is going is just about the employees, and that would be referencing we had 60.
How many employees does the village have?
We had 62 respondents. We have 83 employees, I think, is the
a very good response.
Yeah, we were happy with it. Yep.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Yep. Sure. I'm happy to go as slow as yeah, I think the most of the I'll spare that out. Right, and I think that's part of the reason that at least NOVA and their data scientists didn't highlight the first two questions, that dark blues disagree.
Right.
Highlight the one on and said agree with that. Not that they're valued, but of trying to have a roadmap for how the village is going to improve, it's probably easier to make gains on some of these other.
It's you look at it two ways, right? You look at it as that one person who's responding is potentially responding to other people who did not, you know, complete the survey for whatever reason there, but there is a trend.
Excuse me, trustee. What trend are you seeing?
So, for example, that there 82% of the employees believe the sort of general that you could take that. No. We still need to work on the other percentage? Yes.
Great, thank you.
One thing that NOVA highlighted or wanted us to that respondents were neutral on a certain subject, good or bad. The fact that they don't know the answer could very well be. I feel like I belong at the Village of River Forest. Feeling neutral on that, that's not a good thing. All employees to feel like they belong.
I definitely agree with that statement on neutrality. As someone who has done research before and has had to deal with the question of neutrality, the way I have often defined it as like, well, it's not awful, it's but it's... Sorry?
If we could do one thing here. I'm sorry.
No.
If we just do one thing here. In order for them to participate, the advisory group would need to vote to permit them, given there's a reason that they couldn't be here, whether it's business or health.
Motion to allow Anya Herman to participate in our DEI meeting tonight due to reasons via Zoom.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Anna? Was that?
Anya.
Anya. Thanks for not hating me, guys. It's good to be here.
I didn't catch what you were saying before, if you could repeat that again.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying your comment on, like, if people are neutral on, what, well, I can't remember, if they felt respected at the village, I just wanted to say, like, I agree with you that that's not necessarily a great thing, given that neutral can mean going either way, and I like that the study has kind of shown areas for improvement.
Thank you. It certainly could be a worse response, so I guess in that sense we'll take that. Maybe they're back and forth, good days and bad days, but that's still not where we would like it to be. Here is actually an example of where there was a little bit larger of a negative response. I can voice a contrary opinion at work without fear of negative consequences. 11% of employees disagreed with that statement. 8% were neutral. So that's probably one of the more concerning responses from at least.
Did the survey differentiate between what ideas they felt fear about? Was it fear about hiring for what was the fear about? I guess I'm interested to understand.
No, that's fair. It did not give a specific example or a scenario where that would be. I think it would just be and that they had a contrary opinion at work, and some contrary opinions may deserve a negative consequence depending on responding to a emergency or something like that. So it didn't give a specific example.
So we don't even know what that means.
No, typically.
Or me, and I would say I think it's very subjective.
Thank you.
And I think that this could be something that could be everything from a hybrid policy to how you feel about, you know, how the village is progressing. So that is probably a takeaway to, you know, in the engagement to break it down further.
Well, I thought this survey was specifically about DEI. So I'm trying to understand what part of DEI do these employees don't feel like their voice can be heard?
Sure. Well, I think might not be explicitly, but if there's an employee that has a opinion that disagrees with their coworker or employee, it wouldn't be inclusive of them in the decision making process or a conversation in the workplace. I think would be,
inclusivity and belongingness is very important to DEI, especially within an organization. And so having this kind of information,
I just wonder if in the next engagement survey that we're not going to pay $30,000 for, could we drill down on what that means? Because it'd be a whole lot of different things.
That's very true, and I think we could certainly try to do that. I would say that what we will have to keep in mind with that is that this way, trying to describe the details of that situation.
into it.
It could be as simple as this little group. We have had, almost 2 years of this group, and we've only had one perspective of consultants and speakers ever attend these meetings. And I've asked the chairman, people, to have other perspectives, and we never have. So I'm wondering, is the voice contrary to having a different opinion other than the... of having a different perspective here, does that resonate with the employees at the Village Hall, or are we all supposed to just go along and get along with the perspective that is being promoted here?
So anyone in a workplace that doesn't feel like they can bring up a contrary opinion, a contrary anything to work, it doesn't matter what it is, we need to worry about them feeling a sense of belonging in the organization. If you don't allow them to be free to express their differences of opinion, then they might leave the organization, and there's a lot of turnover. So This is just something that we're
completely understand and agree.
And so for the DEI organization, I think that we've allowed every voice at this table to be heard. Some of the things that you might be talking about in terms of providing additional speakers go against diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so that kind of speaker we will not have.
It could be, but I just really don't understand how
I don't want to be here.
Thomas Sowell and David Anthony are contrary beliefs.
So let me just say this. We're here to talk about the survey. We're not talking about the history of who's upset about what. We're moving on, and we're trying to move forward in a amicable way. So we agree there's been opinions each way on each side, and everybody's had a view, but we're moving forward on the survey. With regard to the issue specifically that you requested, we have decided that that'll be a takeaway, that we will, in fact, dig deeper and find out further about it, but that's all we can do at this point with regard to the answer of that question.
So next group of questions, the takeaway that Nova had kind of found that 82% of employees feel comfortable reporting concerns about discrimination or bias. This would be directly related to goals here. So that's only 5% disagree, the point being that 18%, that's almost a fifth of the respondents, that 12 employees that have a concern about that, and that's not acceptable. My perspective. And so that's something, a big takeaway for us. A similar result to how to know to report that. That may alleviate some of that comfort level. They don't know how to. They're going to be uncomfortable with it, just like anything. So hopefully that could be one way that we... This question was from the employees. What, if anything, do you wish you personally were better at when it comes to diversity and or inclusion? You had the option to select or any. You could have checked all of those boxes. So 43% of employees felt that they not have any are the highest. No, it wasn't open-ended. It had these 8 to 10 options, and you could select multiple.
And there was an option nothing, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
That is a good question. That is what it would be. Question 8, so that not positive, but it seems like that would be. Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. So aside from that, there are quite a number of employees or that feel that there is room to improve their own skills at these.
People could have.
No, you could pick multiple. It's possible that someone would have picked nothing in one of the other options, I would agree. I agree. When this came by, I was like, well, that's maybe certainly room for improvement on self-awareness.
I think this is representative of how accepting the village is about different perspectives. So maybe they don't need to know. Maybe, you know, they're all good. So why do we have to challenge them and laugh at them? This is frankly like absurd. So we're supposed to be inclusive, but not for the people that think they're okay.
Have
answered an alternative question in conjunction with that.
I think we're getting a little bit beyond the scope of our group here in our committee. I think we're stepping way over boundaries, even of those of what the elected officials are permitted to do in this context. So I'd like to move on.
Similar answer that 43% of employees believe that the village but there's quite a few categories that did receive but that was all employees. We're moving over to the 21 respondents that the advisory group that submitted. A survey. Yes, yeah, it was out in January and February.
Some of us got on.
Yes, it may have been, and it probably captures responses from folks that are. We don't know who responded.
Right.
Didn't see any individual responses or anything like that. Nova just aggregated and provided these to us. I don't think I have the breakdowns for, but. A significant number of members don't believe that the village will act on. Correct. Yes, I'm sorry. So, yes.
And I'm sorry, what was the total council membership at the date of the survey?
That is a good question. My guess would be that we sent it out to
38 at the time, Steve.
This is good.
I believe it was 738.
The third tick, I don't have the specific breakdowns for these, but the council members, large number, 40 of. I think actually for that answer, that question that had all those options, quite a lot of as it relates to. These are the areas that the advisory group believe that there's leadership as well as promote. This might help some of the questions earlier on. This is a breakdown of how long the Little River Forest. Operation wise, a fairly good mix. The being yes, I looked it up today when I was looking this up. I think the Google response is like between 1920. I had to look up a couple of these. I believe that the question had a rough year. There's the breakdown between departments. I mentioned administration, finance. We had to combine the two departments because they were already among the smallest. So we had a tie amongst our fire and police department, which is good for Public Works and Development Services. That includes some of the building department as well.
So on the administration and finance, what's your total number?
It was around 11.
Okay.
There were, this had come up during the, when the survey was open, there were employees that were concerned about being identified. For people to open up. So you'll notice I could say for certainty that the 60 department would be the number of survey takers that responded to this question. Being the small department that was most vulnerable for identifying folks. But as I said, I don't know who. I didn't. Aggregate numbers, not the specific. We had, as you'll notice, there are 10.
Do you have any online?
So we don't have that. I think that there was some information provided. The reason being, I mentioned that the one of the protective measures is that only when there was 10 within a specific demographic would they provide that information. So. Fortunately, we were just under for a lot of traffic, so I hope to get a couple more responses so that we would hit them.
Especially do it for a map.
That's right. These are the marginalized identities. Religious group, it wasn't specific to what that group was. It just felt that those respondents, that they are in a, or stated that they are in a.
You were able to identify in several groups, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yep.
Okay. Identify in several groups.
Yeah, actually, the question's on the bottom. You could check all that apply. They were choices, but there was an open set, so those were provided by NOVA. Correct. So there were open-ended questions in discussing for employees and the advisory group, discussing issue. We didn't want to some of those comments, even as they were presented to us, may indicate or reveal who was at that is why we kind of erred on this. Have to remember, I think, and frankly, for the employees, the open-ended answers didn't really provide a lot of insight away from that. I think there were responses a lot to the effect of, we have a lot of training around this subject, and not even necessarily saying in a bad way, but just acknowledging that this is why they feel a certain way, and maybe that there might be a lot of training, especially our. That was one of my takeaways in terms of the advisory group. A little more opinionated, I think. You can tell even from the. Quantitative, thank you. Answers that was open, maybe just by the nature of not being employee of and that concern about feeling. But I can't remember. But there was a lot of skepticism about the village doing anything about it. That was kind of the main takeaway I had. We even saw that on the employee side a little bit, but that would be the main thing that I remember from the advisory group's response.
Yeah. I'm curious, who analyzed this information, and did NOVA do it, and why aren't they here?
So NOVA analyzed. The data went directly to them. They analyzed it, filtered through it to find their those executive summaries were written by them. Questions were written by them. Oh, we kind of summarized and combined it just for brevity. In terms of why they're not here, was this a presentation for the survey to the group wasn't part of their scope. We talked to them about it, but we felt that we'd rather work with them on other deliverables for the group.
Would you be able to go back to NOVA and
And then, depending on those deliverables, might be more staff, might involve the advisory group pursuing it for so long, figuring out what that would be.
I think for all of us upon this advisory group that advises the elected officials who then implement items, it seems like there is some useful information embedded in here that could help our subcommittees strategize how to help the elected officials. So, for example, if for the governance subcommittee, if there is a sentiment expressed that senior leadership isn't accountable on this issue, maybe that's something we want to look at. Well, how can we address that problem of this survey, you know, in recommendations to the elected officials? In that regard, is there a way for the subcommittees to have access to know the group for further clarification or to ask follow-up questions about some of those results or better understand some of those implications, perhaps?
So that, unfortunately, we have a financial issue. So, the more they charge, right? So, in a perfect world, we would, push it to Matt, and Matt would try to gather, his time speaking with us, like, up to the player.
Sure.
For our charge. But, if you feel that you're not getting the response that I'm wondering about it, that we would discuss first.
Yeah, and I think that NOVA, one of the things that they will do is present to the village board. And so that will be a final presentation of recommendations and actions. And we're not to that final product yet. So if there seems to be an opportunity where it could be useful to talk to a committee. But I do think that it is especially on this advisory group, right? For those who think here in this room and also in the village, the staff, that we continue the work that we're doing, that we plan out. And I think that we actually have a decent plan for the next few months, and we'll talk about that in our next item. So that folks can see where we are headed and what we will be working on and the goals and actions that we have. And then, continuing down those goals, right? So communication.
So I'm just trying to understand, to your question about getting more data. So did the questioner even differentiate between the village board or the directors or senior managers of the village?
Like his options in the survey.
He did not. Okay, so we have no idea about that. Then my second question is, will NOVA present their recommendations to the village board of trustees before our committee will present recommendations?
I think it actually will likely be either concurrently or the goal is to be
concurrent. Any more goal? And then the last thing is when can we get a red line of the policy recommendations that NOVA is making? Because we've never even seen the policies. So will this advisory group be made, will that information be made available to us?
When you say we we've never seen the policies, are you like referring to the existing current?
Well, I believe you said that our NOVA has a red line version of recommendations for the policies in the village. And so is this group going to look at those? Can we augment those suggestions based on our, we really don't have any quantitative or qualitative information at this point. But as our subgroups proceed, could we augment those Will that information be shared with us?
So NOVA gave us some recommendations about our personnel manual. I have a redline version of our personnel manual that I worked on, and Matt and I are working on together. So that's something that's just in the early stages, and we have other updates that we need to do. So we'll kind of keep you informed on how it's going.
So could I request that before any presentation is made from NOVA or from, actually, I'd like to make a motion that any redline version of any changes or any recommendations from a consulting firm must be in conjunction with the recommendations from this committee.
Sure.
Could I have a second?
I'll second that. I'm not sure what they. It seems like you talked about a policy audit, and yeah. And I'm just going to talk in general, like looking at our subcommittee here, purchasing and supplies, how they interacts with contractors and vendors. And so I'm wondering if they were looking into the policy, then if they are, what are we doing versus what are they doing? And
that's
we find out what their policy audit says about what they hired. And we just got, thankfully, last week, a lot of documents about the policies of, hiring contractors. What they both. I'm just wondering what they're doing as compared to us.
I think that's a great question. And policy audit is what they kind of called it. I think the scope of that review was fairly limited, fairly narrow scope. I think it was really specific to human resources they didn't discuss necessarily other policies regarding purchasing or zoning or anything else in that.
Final set of recommendations around that is available. The recommendations from NOVA is something that we will be bringing. So that's not.
So are you supportive or not supportive of doing them in conjunction?
Everything is done in conjunction. Like I said, we're doing this all. Our expectation is that all this will be presented to the board at one time.
And I made a motion, Chris seconded it.
Did you ask me a question?
Yes, sir. I made a motion.
Now we're
got a second, and now we're discussing.
So I ask you a question.
How so, sir?
You asked if it was going to be in conjunction.
And sir, you said our intention is, I want to make that emotion and I want that to be definitive, please.
That's fine. I don't want to put any stringent rules on how this group is going to work, so I would vote no for that. But it's a motion, it's been seconded. We can take a vote if we want to.
Well, if I can talk about one thing, we have a there's another meeting next month where I know that the next step is might address some of this with the subcommittee findings or the next steps on the next steps of recommendations. So it would be, at least my opinion, the committee may disagree, might be premature to try and line up that schedule. This is unique. This committee doesn't have a structure of recommendations to a certain group and timeline. So I think that it might be premature to do that. And I think the concern of mine would be if we wanted to address the concern of the survey of active and holding back personnel manual changes to tie it in with what is coming from this group, it may delay it further than I would like to see. But certainly up to the advisory group to make that motion. And if that is confirmed, I think it would be worth revisiting that issue.
Just my concern was only that we as a DEI, we're going to have an opportunity to see what our consultant we're recommending to Village Human Resources that had DEI ramifications.
and that they weren't going to make any recommendations outside of our involvement here. So, yeah.
Do you want to continue with the second of your motion, or
maybe the phrasing was just something I was in favor of, but it's everybody here, you guys are agreeing that whatever. So
because
in terms there's of DEI recommendations to a human resource bank, they're going to be talking to us about it too.
I trust Trish and Matt to deal with the village stuff. So I withdraw my motion.
Okay. I do want to get to our second point of business for tonight. Are there any final questions for me? Thank you very much, Matt, for joining us. I appreciate it.
So the next thing on our agenda is to talk about having the subcommittees kind of present whatever ideas they have so far. We know this is like very early on in the stages, but we were hoping, you know, by the end of summer, we have June 20th. It is on a Tuesday is our next meeting, because Juneteenth is the 19th, so we changed the date for that meeting. And then I believe we have the July meeting. I want to say July. I need to make it up. I'll send it to my. I think it's July 19th, but
it's
I'll
17th.
17th.
Yeah.
Thank you. July 17th. We haven't decided on an August meeting yet. So we're hoping by the end of summer to have each one of the committees bring forward make a presentation on what, you know, you come up with. And then the following meeting, so that would be like July, we would ask everybody to come and present their findings. August, we would give people time to look over everybody's presentation and then maybe vote on the, you know, what's going to be brought to the board as a group. And then hopefully we were hoping to bring the presentation to the board at one of the September meetings, because the board only meets once a month during the summer. So it's a little hard to bring stuff during the summer to the board. So we were hoping at one of the September meetings to have people from the subcommittees, I believe, present their findings to the board.
Yeah, so just for my own sanity, I want to reiterate that so I make sure we've got that. So tonight we're presenting what each subcommittee believes are going to be their goals to work towards, or the actions that they want to work towards at the June committee. You'll work on those for this next month then. On June, you will present that a little bit more formally. We will give the whole committee then a couple of weeks to digest that information and provide comments and questions. And then the subcommittees we'll be able to take that in and make any revisions as necessary. The July meeting will provide us with the opportunity to have a final presentation on those, on the work that the subcommittee has done, the goals and the actions, and then vote on it
in August
as a committee, as what are the recommendations that we would provide to the village board.
And then that presentation would be in September at a mutually agreed upon meeting.
And then as the co-chairs, likely what we'll do is package, we'll request your findings, package it up as a report from the DEI subcommittee or the DEI advisor.
Okay. So just, do any of the subcommittees have anything to share with us tonight? Or is it a little early? To each group?
Yeah.
I do somewhere.
The municipal priority is what we're looking for. So you're now at the stage where we really want to get the top three going. Maybe you're asked, it don't have to be in full inclusion, or you learned everything. You might still be waiting on some statistics or what have you, but we really want to start putting, you know, some things to paper. So to the degree that you could help us with just, you know, coming up with the top three of things you think are important for your group. Even in drafting once again, that would help us to, you know, really start focusing on where we're heading on.
Yeah, so tonight maybe name the items that you have been looking at and thinking through a little bit. And it
doesn't have to be three, but if we don't want it to be more than three for each subcommittee. So we will start out with governance and DEI framework. Is anybody here from that committee?
I've been the note taker.
Yes.
So the only one thing that we've agreed upon is to do research how other government entities approach DEI efforts structurally and learn what efforts prove to be successful, positive, and unproductive. And then we agreed to have the group participation in developing a survey that we could all go to different villages or entities to contact. Ken, at our last meeting, agreed to help us if we needed contact information. And so far, there's been one committee member who shared their thoughts about what questions should we put in the standard interview packet, but that's where we are.
It looks like you also had several goals or two-pager of items that you wanted to address as well that looked very compelling.
Where were those, honey?
I believe I received them from the group.
Ken is our advisor, and so no.
Well, or was this point?
I believe we all received that
back in the group last summer.
Yes, I think what we need to do with
the
group is I don't know where we are, but it sounds like there is financial movement as well as maybe something out there to move forward as well on something. So let's see if we can clarify those three to four issues. But I think that there is, my understanding, there is a lot of financial movement. And we want to make sure that we are inclusive of the world, but also try to narrow these things down to, you know, top.
So I haven't received those. Can you?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, where did
they
come from?
I don't think we've generated any recent content.
So all the information I've sent out for the last 3 weeks that I've copied Luke and Trish on, so no one has shared any of that with me.
Are you referring to what was done, I guess, 2 years ago or a year ago now?
I would say probably a year ago.
Yeah. So my temp, I think that's what they're referring to, Tim and myself, that sent out the group. Well, I've not been voted on by the subcommittee.
Okay. Maybe that's something that can be voted on by the subcommittee.
Yeah, I think let's take.
We ought to have a subcommittee meeting.
I have to be
a master. Yeah. But time after the meeting at some point.
Okay. Purchasing and suppliers.
Well, that's me and Sharon, who's to my right, and three other people who haven't been at every meeting. So, but we did ask for, and thank Tricia, we got last week, multiple documents So Sharon and I have just kind of scanned through. It's a lot of documents.
It's a lot.
It looks like one, it's a very lengthy and detailed ethics ordinance in the village that pretty robust, probably more so than the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, considering what I read about in the papers in terms of their ethics. But that looked pretty lengthy and detailed, as did all of the anti-discrimination language in multiple sections and referring to other laws that would apply both at the state and federal level. So it looks like there's an awful lot of anti-discrimination protections on books, but we're not prepared there. Like big recommendations.
Okay.
I don't even know how much participation we're going to get from the three people that are on this subcommittee that have been present the last 3 weeks. So maybe we can share going forward.
Okay, great. Thank you. Community outreach.
So yeah, we haven't done our homework, to be honest with you, so I'm not going to embarrass our group. Our group is completely new.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to regroup and kind of start from scratch.
Okay.
Well, Trish, we have what you sent us.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through that.
Okay, great.
And kind of figure out what we need. I guess community is I need a little bit more of a depth. Like, what are we looking at? Like,
okay.
Like parade.
If you want me to set up a call with me,
okay.
Yeah.
Do that.
We have some work, and I never send it to you, so I apologize. We've done some work. Like, I guess a year ago.
Yeah.
So we have all of that, but we never met with any of you guys to get approval.
Yeah, that's
for that. Okay,
perfect.
Cool. I'll send an email.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay, what about housing?
The housing committee, we're going to have to redo that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It's like the last couple of months, participation and travel is just not allowed me to be here personally.
Right.
So we have to.
And I think, Erica, you were going to sort of hook us up with a housing expert?
Yes. So I checked in with him, and he's not available until June. So first week of June. So I was going to reach out to you about those weeks. But he's very busy, which is, you know, because he is nationally respected. So I would imagine that within the first 2 weeks of June, we'll be able to move it.
Yeah, and he's a housing expert, so she knows, and I thought it looked good. Because he had some really good ideas the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to share any of those ideas?
Sure. I'm not going to be as good at this as Bob was, because Bob was quite eloquent about it. But basically, we're talking about just in the sleeve of affordable housing. That there are single family homes in and around our community that, I know of two in my neighborhood that are abandoned, and they've been empty for years. And so Bob was talking to you about a program where families could earn sweat equity, come into these homes that are run down and learn skills and improve these homes. And then through maybe a public-private partnership or whatever, they get financing to buy them. So I felt like that was kind of like a win-win, particularly because I have to look at this abandoned house across the street every day. And there's another one on Park, I guess.
Yep.
Must be close to each other.
Are you on Ashland?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Are you on Ashland?
I'm on. Oh, is there one on Ashland? Because I'm on Frank.
Well, you know, there is apparently an owner, but right now the Raccoons live there.
On Ashland?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's three.
Yeah, three.
I guess three.
It's Ashland.
So I think it's a really good idea if we could pull it together.
Okay, so the idea is that looking at abandoned housing, is there a way to get ownership in
own a home and live in this community? Yeah, with sweat equity, I mean, it's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
But we would have to partner with a lot of organizations that support that.
Of course. Yeah.
We had discussions regarding housing advocates within the village as well.
So we don't have the advocates.
Is there a champion? So we have a lot of great ideas. It's just people who have done it.
And you're expert, maybe, right?
Sure. her actual head of yeah, and an expert that the town has used.
Well,
so,
there are owners of this. There are owners of these houses, right? I think when they are in the same block.
Yeah.
So it's
somebody else.
That way,
unless the village owns
it. Yeah, the White House.
It's.
But then there's another one down on the 200 block that the woman passed away. The family doesn't want anything to do with it. So the neighbor is cutting the lawn because it's growing. So if there's something going on.
So there are owners. Yeah, so I think that would be probably part of the process. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The village eminent domain, or, you know, like, is there a process that we could, right?
Okay, intergovernmental relationships.
Yes. All right. So I think we're down to two mighty team members here at this point. So I think Whitney's having a baby.
Oh, she really?
Yeah. So so these were our next steps. We thought we were a much bigger group, but I think we can still make some progress on them. So there's really two big things that we had. So one is really identifying all the groups that we want to connect with, who are the appropriate people, and then putting together some kind of template. So we approach them that we are getting some kind of consistent information back that we can act on. So part of it is just finding out what other governing bodies are doing, what kind of things in the space, and where we can maybe partner or supplement efforts. So given the fact a lot of them are government agencies and they slow down the summer, this might be just finding out which organizations, who are the people, getting our template put together, kind of hit it in the fall,
sure,
is probably what's most significant together. The other one is to revisit the Twin Villages Covenant that we made with. I think there's a real desire for that, to make that into something tangible rather than just a nice little soundbite. So I think we have some work.
Wonderful. So the first idea is to come up with a template that we could use for different governing agencies to determine what they're doing, what are their priorities, and are there ways that we can partner with them where it makes sense. And the second idea is to revisit the Twin Village Covenant and whether it is redrafting it or working on more substantial work towards it, doing something.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay. So the next thing on our agenda is our next meeting is, our next meeting is Tuesday, June 20th here. And does anybody else have any other comments? Matt?
Yes, I just wanted to say, in terms of the survey, I would appreciate the employees kind of direction in using those results and then back to this. I know it's called the meeting and we're going to come and see that information, but we had a good response rate, I think, because we tried to make sure that anonymity was out there and no negative agenda. So I would just appreciate that when you're, I hope it's helpful for what you're talking about, but I just want to put that right out there.
I have one quick question. So the vendor, the research partner is working on our policies. They're reviewing that. Are they coming up with some kind of action plan for us to do anything outside of policies, like, you know, everyday life in the village?
I don't know about everyday life per se, but we are trying to kind of steer them into things that would at least benefit village operations on an everyday basis. I hope that helps address.
The group has changed, but I remember when we first started, we had a couple of people who actually worked in employee research. I did that myself for many, many years. I haven't done it in four years at this point. But I know there was another person who actually spent, you know, that's her profession. I don't know if she's still here, but I think, you know, we can also use people who are here or expert in the field. I don't know if that's something that we discuss at some point, or because I know this person I spoke, I don't remember, it was like literally 2 years ago, and she just, that's exactly what she did for work.
Yeah, I know there are a couple of people who have resigned. I feel like one of those people was HR related. I know that we also pulled down the HR employee subcommittee just because it was a small group with a lot of, it was a big item. And now that we have a specialist in HR within the staff, it did make a lot of sense to do that so that others could be more effective than other groups. So, but yes, we will keep them in short engagement.
Can I just make a final comment? I mentioned at the last meeting, which was, we didn't have a quorum, so there was no recording. So I'd like to be on the record. I failed to understand why we are pushing to get these goals and presentations and voting on stuff when we have no qualitative or quantitative information about any, within any of our subcommittees. And in my little subcommittee, we agreed to do a best practice survey, and we're not even going to do that. So I fail to understand why we are rushing to get goals down without any qualitative or quantitative information.
So my takeaway from this, and Erica can correct me if I'm wrong, your subcommittee could put in recommendations that you want to bring into the board, that we want to reach out to other villages in the next year, et cetera, to see what they're doing for DEI. That would be a recommendation that you could bring forward.
Trish, I've already, Ken has it, you have it, Luke has it. Yes, that's already been submitted.
So,
but other committees need to more data, qualitative and quantitative. There's no, we're making goals out of gut feels.
So we asked subcommittees to provide us with a request for information by the end